This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Welcome to Bull Talk Business Radio. This is Donna Anselmo, and you're listening to us today on TalkNetworkRadio.com, our new home in Merritt Island, Florida, thanks to Jeff Heiser, really nice person. I've mentioned that, I think, on every show so far, but we do like him. And today we have a wonderful guest with us, Miss Kathy King.
I'll be a doctor.
She'll be a doctor, no problem.
I'll take that.
Pete Anselmo, our co-host.
Good to be here.
And we're going to be talking about Kathy's role as a life coach and a little bit about her history. Life coaching has become a pretty big category for people.
Huge.
You talk to a lot of people and all of a sudden everybody is a life coach. So I want to know a little bit for our listeners about what is a life coach and what kind of people does a life coach help and why do people go for life coaching?
First of all, thank you for having me on today, Don and Pete. I appreciate it. It's a happy day to be here. Always happy in Merritt Island. But life coaching, I think, was born out of counseling, although it is up and coming, and there are so many people who are getting into it. The difference is that counseling kind of takes you back and dredges up old problems, and you fix those, and you move through the past muck and mire, and then you get to where you are today. You go back and find the reasons. And counselors and therapists also are able to give medical advice and, I think, prescribe medicines, which life coaches are not. A life coach really just takes you from where you are right today and moves you forward in a good, positive direction. There may be some past things that need to be fixed up and worked out, but that comes out. And generally, somebody who would seek a life coach is looking for just someone to help them become better at life, at the game of life.
I read your brochure, Kathy King, and one of the things I saw that you said, and kind of unfortunately true, life is hard.
Life is hard. There's no question. Even for those of us, I've had actual clients say to me, well, you need a life coach. Why are you asking me that? And I think everyone needs someone to bounce things off of. You know, we all need a friend. The difference in having a best friend and someone to talk things over with is that a life coach should remain a little bit apart from the situation. Like, I don't need to know you and be your friend to be your life coach, and it's preferable that I don't. It's very difficult for me to coach friends, and I've had them come to me, and we end up saying this isn't going to work. I'm too close to you. I know too much about you. And I end up wanting to say, do this, don't do that, which is not what a coach does.
And probably because you're a friend, and you're not seen in that authority figure.
No.
Role, it's harder for people to actually say, oh, I really have to listen to what my coach says when they're thinking, oh, it's just Kathy King and I've known her for years.
And also the objectivity, I think, is the important thing too.
Right.
A life coach brings objectivity that you probably don't get from a friend or someone close to you.
And it's very difficult to charge a friend, I will tell you that. I mean, I have people that will say, you know, well, you're my friend. I can talk to you anytime. Why should I pay you for your services? Thinking, okay, well, you know, you got a point there. However, don't just drop in and let's talk about your problems for the next 3 hours and, you know, then have a glass of wine and go home.
Yeah, I want to clarify something we mentioned earlier about life being hard. And I think that that is a matter of perspective. And I just want to keep it in perspective because life is hard for people who don't have their basic necessities. But when life becomes hard for people who have all their necessities and they're struggling with moving forward, they're carrying some baggage with them and they need somebody to help them empty the bags.
They definitely do.
And to change it and get, you know, that shiny, you know, the shiny bag instead of the dull, droopy, heavy bag that's weighing me down. And I think that knowing you, Kathy King, one of the aspects of having a life coach that I think is important, and I know it's important to you, is that you work very hard, from what I can see, because I've known you now for about a year and we've had many conversations, that you're very accepting of the things that people say to you, in meaning that you are not placing judgment on them. You're helping them to say, where is it that you, that they want to go? And then you're helping them work through how they're going to get there.
I have been through so many things in my own life, and I know how easy it is to get into places, into corners, and get to be doing things that don't make you happy. And I would never judge someone for being there. I am a strong Christian, and I will say that straight up front. And it's, you know, I'm all about, and very thankful that I don't have to judge. That's not my job. My job is to greet you where you are, embrace the life you have, and hopefully take it from just functional to fabulous, to a place where you are just really living each day. And I have to say, it's strange today, Donna. I went to a funeral this morning, and I very seldom go because I feel like the person has already passed, and I would hope that I would give them my love and caring during their lifetime. But this was a gentleman that I worked with, and he actually gave me a job. Can I tell the story really quickly? I was singing. I sang for 12 years on the cruise ships, and I had worked with him, and I went in one day, and there was a position open for a female vocalist, which is different from what I had been doing. And I didn't have a resume, and I walked into his office, and I walked in with 3 sequin dresses and 2 pairs of sequin shoes. And I said, "This is my resume." And he said, "Well, have you ever done this before?" And I said, "No, but I'm sure I can." And he said, "Well, I can hire you, but I can also fire you if it doesn't work out. So you're hired." And this man was a joy to everyone who knew him. And as I was sitting in the church this morning, and we were surrounded by all the people that whose lives he had touched, I realized that our journey is short. You know, he was 81 years old, and I was thinking to myself, where did all those years go? And sometimes if you're blessed enough to be healthy for your whole life, then those years and those days really should be positive, fun, joyous years. They shouldn't be lugging burdens of care and woe and worry. And some of us have that baggage. We can't really get rid of it. It's all about finding joy in the midst of that, like standing with 2 bags of heavy burdens and saying, okay, it's sunny today. I'm going to leave these here and go walk on the beach. I'm going to leave these here and go shopping or whatever. That would be my thing that I would do.
I think all about the shopping. It's in the same vein.
I have an invention for the shopping.
Let's go shopping and then we'll go to the beach.
I think a lot of it is your personal expectation of life.
Absolutely.
That creates this burden sometimes, that when you create for yourself that, geez, I look at a magazine and they say, well, gee, I should have a house like that, or I should be this, or I should be that. In other words, I think it's trying to bring yourself back to a more realistic impression or more realistic concept within yourself for what life is, and to find the joyful areas.
Absolutely.
And focus on those as opposed to the areas that aren't quite as joyful.
And as any of us do, I was getting ready and I was looking at myself in the mirror and I was going, oh my gosh, where'd all these wrinkles come from? Oh my gosh, I need to do this and I need to do that. And I got there and I realized that all of us have aged. All of us in this group that were together, it wasn't like one person got old. It was like we all are taking this journey together. And so none of us really have the right to judge somebody else or say, oh my gosh, she's this, he's that. We should just embrace each other and say, okay, we're living. We are living this life, and let's do it joyfully.
Exactly.
I heard you speak for a networking group recently, and you talked about the journey, about finding the joy and not wasting one single moment of the life that's given to us. I know also from knowing you, Kathy King, that not only are you a life coach, where everything seems like, oh, wow, she's a life coach, she has all the answers, she knows everything, But I know that you've also gone through your own challenges in your own life. I also know you mentioned that you're Christian, and I'm believing that a big part of your ability to go through this and to tap into the joy comes from your faith. I want to talk a little bit about that, and I also want you to tell us a little bit about your training as a coach, because I know that you went through Christian life coaching. How has that influenced you? How might it be different from other coaching programs? But let's start with, where does your faith play into your ability to tap into joy?
My faith probably has everything to do with joy. In Nehemiah, it says, your joy is the strength of the Lord is your joy, and or the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you know, I took care of, as you were saying, and I loved speaking for the group, Premier Women's Network. I took care of my parents for 3 years, and I was their 24/7 caregiver. And you know, even as a life coach, as I look back on my life, there were times when I was, when it was devastatingly sad and hurting, and there were just so many different things. I've been through the gamut of emotions, from divorce, from losing a job, from losing friends, from just all kinds of things. And what I discovered is that it's important. We're all going to face those trials. We're all going to face stumbling stones and craters and potholes in this journey. But the ability to get back up and find the joy, or at least figure out why you're doing, being faced with what you're facing, learn something good from it, come out of it with a positive perspective. And I look back, I've said this to you before, I look back on my life, and while I was in the turmoil and the traveling the road, I might not understand a lot of things, but I could look back and now I can connect all the dots. They were all for a reason. Everything happened to connect it to something else and to build me into the kind of person that God wanted me to be and that I am today. And that's not to say that I don't have sad days or that I don't feel sorry for myself, but I'm able to look around me at the gifts that I've been given and the blessings that I have. And I think Christian life coaching is more than just being taught in a Christian environment. I went to Professional Christian Coaches Institute, and that does tell you how to do it with a godly manner. But what I found is that a lot of times Christians tend to stay secluded in their little circle of Christians. And I don't really want to do that. I think that my faith is best stepping out of that into the world around us, where people might not believe, or they might be struggling and they have no reason to have joy. They have no rock to stand on. They have no idea of anything other than themselves and this world, when there really is something bigger and better for them to hold on to, some faith that really will get them going to a place that they can manage.
Right. It's making me think to ask you about the fact that you're a Christian life coach, but I'm assuming that your clients don't have to be Christian. Would somebody who is not Christian working with you feel affronted by your belief?
I would hope not. I will, sometimes I don't even say, I mean, my beliefs and my joy are in me. And hopefully that comes across without me having to say, gosh, I'm a Christian. I don't want to live that way so that I have to identify myself. I want my mannerisms and my words and my heart and what I can do for someone. I want that to be my message, not my words. So I don't really say it very often. I mean, I think hopefully the people that know me know I am. If they don't, I will
From what I have seen, I don't see the dogma in what you do and what you say and your presentation. So I don't see that in any way that you couldn't influence anyone,
right,
from any religious background. I don't think it has anything to do with it. As far as that goes,
I would say that sometimes we have to step back from our filters. and just look at what it is that I want instead of what I have now. And does this person have a resource to share with me? And if she does, or if another life coach does, or a psychologist, or a therapist of some kind has something that can help you move forward in your life, don't worry about the filters. Don't worry about what religion you are. Just move forward with the goal in mind and say, what is it that I want instead of what I have now? And who can help me get there? I want to say, Kathy, that one of the things with coaching that I think people should understand is that coaching, as we talked about earlier, is the ability, it's important that your coach has the ability to listen intently and without judgment.
Absolutely. I heard your previous guest say that. And I just did a webinar on direct communication, and listening intently is more important than we ever know. We learn so much from listening to others. And I think we have, we all have that desire to speak up and give our opinion and jump in there and say what we want to say.
Right.
We do that all the time, and conversations just get out of control. And yet we learn the most about a person when we really, really listen, because some things are left unsaid. Some things are facial expressions. Some things are body language. There's a lot going on with a client that might not make it to the words.
Right. Pete had mentioned a book that he had back in college, and I know it's still sitting on our bookcase somewhere, Listening with the Third Ear. And I think that that's letting the filters go and just getting the intuition about what's happening. So, Kathy King, when you're working with people as a coach, or if you're any coach working with somebody, the key is that you want to be able to help people to rethink their decisions, assess where they're at, focus their priorities, and connect with the life that they want to live. Is that right?
Yes, it's definitely right. It's very, I really have a passion these days for teens, and I have been taking some courses and reading some books, and I read a book just recently about what teens want you to know, but they don't want to tell you. And it was written by a Catholic counselor. And the first paragraph just kicked me in the gut. I don't know why it was so profound, but it said that it was talking about Dr. Einstein when he was teaching at the school. And one of his students came in with a paper and said, "Dr. Einstein, this is the same exam you gave last year." And Professor Einstein looks up and nods, and he says, "But all the questions are still the same." And he nods, and he says, "Well, everybody studied it, and all the answers are still the same." And Dr. Einstein said, "All the questions are still the same, but the answers have changed." And I realized that in our lives, from the years we were born to the years today, everything has changed. The world has changed. And unless we as adults change with it, we can't communicate with each other. We especially can't communicate with kids and young people, because their world is totally different than ours is. And I found myself realizing the times I'd said, "I just don't understand why he won't do this," or can't he see that so-and-so and so. Of course he doesn't get that. And we can take that with teens, but we can also take that with adults, because younger people than I will have had totally different lives. So unless we listen, unless we hear the answers to the questions, if I ask you a question and really listen to your answer, I can't assume what it's going to be. I can't assume that it's going to be the same you gave me last week. The answer might have changed, and I need to be aware that it's changed and how to deal with that changing answer.
I think that's very good. I think that that helps in the sense that you can deal with a lot of different people, because you're not going by some sort of a rote methodology, but you're taking the individual for what he is, for their experience, and working with that experience. And so whether they're a teenage young girl or an older person or what have you, these are going to be different experiences. They're going to be interpreted differently. But it's important that you come and listen to what it is that they have experienced.
Absolutely.
And so that's the important thing.
I was just thinking about the wife of the gentleman that passed away, and I'm thinking all of her answers have changed. I mean, her whole world has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, I mean, in the blink of an eye, life changes. And that's what we need to be aware of. I would hope that I would give my clients that attention and that complete listening ear when they come to me and they, you know, have a problem or they have an issue or they have a need. I hope I'm aware, very aware of that need.
Well, I think you are. I see it in our conversation. So it seems to me that you certainly are.
I think when your life changes, you are moved off kilter. And because life has changed and something has shifted for you, suddenly you might be turned this way, you might be turned that way. All of a sudden, your vision of your goal, your vision of the life that you thought you had or the life that you thought you were going to have is now seen from a different perspective. So how do you help people connect with the vision for their lives, especially when they have been thrown a brick?
I think the easiest answer to that really is that it's important to set a goal, but sometimes you can't really do anything but make the next day your goal and make this present day your goal. Like, what is it you're going to do today? How are you going to face the things you have to face today? What is it that's in your path that is keeping you from moving forward or being happy or, you know, accepting what life has thrown at you? How do you get yourself to a place where you can actually sleep the night through and wake up in the morning and feel that you can adjust yourself to the next day?
This is Donna Anselmo, and I'm thrilled to be your host on Talk Network Radio. I want to, again, reintroduce my co-host, Pete Anselmo, to the show. And I want to talk with Kathy King a little bit about what she can tell us about her experience in going through coach preparation. For instance, you were talking earlier about how important it is to listen and to listen intently to people. But we're not taught to listen. Some of us are. But we don't always learn the lesson about how to listen to other people. So what did you take away from your coaching training? Did it change anything for you, or were you already a great listener?
I probably have to admit that I wasn't already a great listener. I'm a talker. I tend to just ramble on and get excited and chat away and always thinking that I have the words of wisdom, which sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But my training taught me that in a short amount of time, there is definitely a path that, you know, a certain style that you do with when you coach. You find out what it is that you need to address. You ask a few questions about that. You identify the need, and you set some immediate goals that you can address and go forward. And it's not just about active listening. It's also about the right questions. Don't ask questions that can be answered yes or no, or I don't know. You ask questions that really make your client think about what it is that they are looking at. What is it that they want for their life? What is it that they find is keeping them from being the best person they can be? And a lot of people don't know that. It's a hard question to answer.
What are some of the responses that you get from people who go through life coaching with you? I would imagine that it's a process of discovery, and there must be a lot of aha moments for people.
There are some aha moments. I've had a lot of clients that have they've had overwhelming issues. And I think one of the biggest is weight. You know, they come to me and they're like, they have all these things wrong with their life. And all of them revolve around the fact that they have put on all this weight. Their self-image is off. Their clothes are weird. They don't feel good going places. And that's an overwhelming thing to address in a one session or even in a several sessions. So that has to be, first of all, it's discouraging. And there, I don't think there's a worse emotion than discouragement. You know, to feel that you just, yeah, this is it. I agree. I know. Yes, I will say it is, but I can't do it, or I don't know what to do.
It's interesting that you've brought up the weight subject. Pete and I met in 1978 at the New York Hypnosis Center, and he came to work there.
That's true.
As they hired him as the vice president for franchise development. And I had been working as one of the directors of a hypnosis counseling center. And we did hypnotherapy. And I was trained by the company to conduct hypnosis. And we had a professional staff, a very professional staff, PhDs and MSWs. And I started out in an administrative position. But they trained me to do hypnosis, and I was able to do intake consultations with people who wanted to change something in their lives. The thing that most people came to us for was they wanted to lose weight. We had a lot of people come for weight loss. We had a lot of people come because they wanted to smoke. To stop smoking. They wanted help with their smoking, excuse me. Maybe they were smoking pot, who knows. But they wanted to stop smoking. They had other needs too. We had we were very effectively using hypnosis to accelerate learning. I had a couple of people that I worked with who had to take the GREs or the bar exam, and they would get nervous and beforehand, and it would just totally blow their ability to take those standardized tests. So we were able to work with people who had certain fears, who had anxiety, who had smoking as a tremendous life habit. But the toughest one to change was the eating habit.
Yep.
And the reason for that, as we believe, was that eating is so entrenched in your day-to-day life. You need to eat to live. You need to totally reframe your thinking and your behavior. Whereas if you stop smoking, you want to stop smoking, you don't need that cigarette to live. So once you cut the cord, you really don't need it anymore. But coming back to your eating behavior is a much more complex
The habit itself.
Behavior and habit.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a very complex habit, and that's what's difficult about correcting or changing it.
Sure. And it's not just physical. It's behavioral. It's emotional. It's related to your family, to your family stories, to your family history. There's so many dynamics involved in that. So I can understand, Kathy, why you have customers, clients who come to you, and sometimes their issues are around weight, and you're absolutely right about fact that it impinges on so many areas of your life. Not only if you look and you're talking about, well, my clothes don't fit right, I feel uncomfortable, and I know because I'm there, but but I will tell you that that it also means that you don't even feel well. And when you don't feel well because you're overweight, your body isn't working up to snuff. If your body's not operating at peak performance, your mind is not there.
And you're
then
tired.
All of the filters that you're putting on your life are colored by your physical countenance.
It's a circular thing too. I mean, we eat because we get upset and we are anxious and we are afraid and we are tired and we are bored and we have too much time and not enough time and all those reasons. So we eat and then we eat and we get depressed again. All those feelings come back because we've eaten and because we gain weight. So it's a very hard struggle. And my clients are, you know, you almost have to pull down from, set aside the weight issue and get to the other issues. What else is going on in your life that is causing you to eat so much? And why can't you, let's talk about restraint and let's talk about discipline and let's talk about, you know, how would you feel a year from now if you've lost 20 pounds? How would you feel? What would it look like to you?
That's a good approach because you're kind of moving away from the weight situation because you find that the weight aspect of it is really just an indication of different problems.
Exactly.
And so dealing with the other problems is more important than just the weight. The weight actually, in the end, will take care of itself. You'll make the adjustment if you have the good attitude, if you have a change in attitude, you make the adjustment and the weight will eventually come off.
Right. I wanted to tell you as well, Donna, that I, after I took the courses with, for life coaching, I just recently finished a course in disc training, excuse me, which is, I am a consultant for, human behavior. And that is a fascinating subject. I mean, that's a whole different aspect to coaching, to be able to give someone a test, and it's not really a test because there's no right or wrong or pass or fail, but
right.
you take
but
a,
it's an
a survey. It's an
right.
assessment.
It's an assessment.
It's an assessment.
And let's let our listeners know that the DISC assessment, which Kathy is now certified to teach, I happen to know a little bit about it, helps people to understand how their mind works around communication.
Yes.
And communication is really the key to all human behavior, or at least all of human relationships. So particularly if you're in a relationship with someone at home, with people that you socialize with, or particularly people that you work with, and that's where most of the DISC assessment seems to be situated these days, is that companies are looking, they want to understand the dynamics of the personality and the way that people get and look for information in terms of how they communicate. Do you want to talk about the four categories,
well,
Kathy?
I'll have to get my book out to really read the exact ones, but there are four different quadrants. And the thing that is, I was thinking about it with the weight, actually, because there are two quadrants that are passive and two that are active, and there are two that are task-oriented and two that are people-oriented. And I gave the assessment to one of my friends, and she, all of her chart was above the line, which says that she's an overachiever, and it is so true. And she just goes like, you know, a mile a minute and crazy, everything has to be right and everything doesn't have to be right. I myself came up as a high I, which is, that's why I said that I talk too much.
well,
that's one of the things.
Yeah, but you
it's
know,
a
don't
talky, chatty
now.
Person. No.
the DISC basically stands for four different
dominant
types of personality. So you have a dominant, yeah, like driver type personality. And that type of person is going to be the person who says, don't tell me the whole story. Just give me the facts. I don't need all the backstory. I just want to know how the results are going to impact me. And then you have the more inspirational person,
right,
who is concerned with building the relationship. And I'm going to really befriend you with my communications, and I'm going to get to know you.
Right.
And I'm going to become effective at what I do because I'm going to be able to connect with you. And that's it. That's an active role too. But then you have
the example that my teacher gave, and I loved this. She said, if you have ever run out of time on the answering machine and had to call back to finish your message, you're an I. And I thought, ooh, how many times have I done that? So this is me again. I just want to tell you goodbye because I didn't get to say it in the first time. And I know I'm running out your answering machine. Sorry.
And then, yeah, that's a great example, Kathy. And it's important to you to finish the conversation,
yes,
and to make sure that there's a rapport there and that people understand you. And the I, some people call it the inspirer, other desk trainings call it the influencer, because you,
right,
influence through the relationships. And then there are the more task-oriented communicators, which are the support people who say, I don't need to be in charge.
I'm steady. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to do exactly. I'm secure in who I am, but I don't really need to be out front. I will. You're right. I'll support you till the end, but don't ask me to, you know, talk in front,
right,
of this group.
Exactly. Give me the job and I'll get it done, but I don't need to lead the company. And then you have people who are the calculators, and they're very analytical, and they are the people who, if they write you a work memo, every T is going to be crossed, every I is going to be dotted, every fact and figure that ever entered their mind is going to be in that memo, because they think it's important that you analyze the world before you act. So you have this mishmash of people in your organization, some of whom are this driver-dominant personality, and they're typically the people at the top leading the organization.
Right.
And then some people who are the calculators who just want you to so badly know what's in their mind.
I hate to say they're the critical ones as well. They,
yes,
are the ones who will find, like you said, dot the I's and cross the T's. They're the ones who will look at a paper and say, oh, by the way, you left off this word, or oh, you misspelled this.
Exactly. And the reason that this is such an important topic to talk about today is because what happens in a relationship and what happens in a business when that D encounters the C, or when the I encounters the S? And because they look at life through a different filter, they don't understand how come the other person doesn't understand them.
Right.
And so when you're armed with understanding the way that other people in your organization or in your life might be looking at the world, then you can start learning, well, if I am an S and I want to communicate, if I'm a supporter and I want to communicate with that dominant driver personality, I might have to shift the way I talk about things.
It is. It's definitely not written in stone. So you can adjust. I think that's why it's important to be able to know who you are and how you are. This is how we're wired from nature and nurture. But it doesn't have to stay that way. When you recognize it, you can say, oh my gosh. For example, I am so chatty. If I went into a D personality to ask for a job or to give a memo or to say something, I don't walk in there and say, how's your summer? Was it good? Oh my gosh, I saw a picture of you on Facebook, and go off talking about all this stuff, because that person doesn't want to hear all that. That person wants me to say, hi, here's your report. Have a great day, and walk out. So it can be done. It can be changed. And then there are the 28 blends that's what's so fascinating to me. The people who are blended personalities. They have a little of this and a little of that and none of this and none of that. And it is a fascinating thing, but it does. The reason I mention it is because it really does help in coaching. It helps in someone who comes to me and is having trouble with their teenage kid or their husband or somebody who's having trouble at work. They're miserable in their job. Well, why are you miserable? You know, these people don't understand me, or I can't get along with a coworker, or it really does help to be able to pinpoint behavior patterns, and so that they see that it's not something they're doing wrong. It's just something that the way people are.
Well, I think one of the important aspects of that is that because we don't always understand the person who communicates differently, the person who sees the world through a different lens, we don't understand them as well. And that leads us to make assumptions. Like you might
Absolutely.
Make an assumption. This person doesn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
This person is mean. Well, they're not mean. They're just seeing things through a different filter. It might seem mean to you. Maybe they really are mean. I don't know. It depends on the person. But
let's say they're not. Yeah,
let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
but let's say they're not. Let's say it is a matter of being able to come around and to understand where the other person is coming from so that you can improve your relationship. And when you improve your relationships, that's probably one of the most important aspects of why people come to a coach to begin with.
Absolutely.
They want something different.
They want their life
to
improve.
And sometimes you have a relationship with people. Sometimes you have a relationship with ideas and relationship with things in your life, or for me, my relationship besides my husband and you, Kathy King, you know, are my little puppies.
Oh, and the puppies can't leave them out. Yeah. You know?
So, but let's not digress.
No, we won't get off on the dog stories.
But what I want to talk about, Kathy, is I know that you have a heart for teenagers, and you have worked to build a foundation of an organization that you want to see getting teenagers to communicate more effectively in a healthy way with each other, with, you know, each other as peers, and also with society as a whole and with their parents. You want to talk a little bit about your views on teens and teen communication?
I have started and not progressed very far with, but it will come, with a group called TWITA. And that stands for that's what I'm talking about. And I'm excited about it because it leaves it wide open for every topic for teens to talk about. And I walk the beach every morning, and I actually stopped the other day to thank a dad because he was playing with his kids. And I said, I want you to know that you're the first father that I have seen playing with their young kids and not on the phone. I don't see a phone anywhere. I don't see any kind of device. I just see you loving on your kids. And I said, that's just a really rare thing. And it's a, you know, I just, I know you think I'm crazy, but I just want to commend you for that. And he looks startled. But in this world of technology today, I think we leave too much to the internet and too much for when kids don't get unconditional love at home, they turn to other places. And sometimes other places are not acceptable and not very good. And they want acceptance. They want the same things that everybody wants, that we wanted when we grew up. And it really boils down to unconditional love. How much do you love me? Kids ask all the time in every way. You know, do you love me enough to take me the way I am, even though I'm a jerk and even though I'm yelling at you and even though I made a mistake? Can I know that you love me more than anything in the world? And parents sometimes need to just stop and say, oh my gosh, this is my child. This is the best gift I'll ever be given. You know, I need to,
absolutely.
I need to just slow down enough. And I say that with, you know, parents, gosh, I know parents have their own lives and everyone has their own lives, but our kids are kind of getting forgotten in the tug of the world. And it's I just have such a heart for getting them to a place where they know that they are worthy.
I happened last night to listen to a video online by a dear friend of ours, Dr. Joe Serio, and you can find him at Joe Serio, JoeSerio.com. And he does a lot of training, particularly in the police and security industry. But he was talking on this video about growing up and feeling unloved. And he would be, well, my parents never hug me. My parents don't tuck me in at night. They don't pay enough attention to me. I guess I'm not worthy. I guess they really don't love me. And he saw life from that standpoint for a very long time. And I've known Joe from before he went back to school and got his PhD in criminal justice. He, in his own right, is a really phenomenal person. He was the first person actually to go undercover with the Soviet police, investigating the Russian mafia. He learned how to speak multiple languages at a young age and was recruited as an intern out of college to go work in the Soviet Union. And despite that, he still had questions about himself and his worth. And he said that one day it dawned on him. And as he was thinking, my parents didn't pay enough attention to me. And of course, because kids take that forward, and if their parent doesn't give them that validation, who is going to give it to them? But one day he had the aha moment when he said, my parents had 12 kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. He said his parents were running a small company, and he just didn't realize it. And so it takes a special person to come to that recognition to change their life
Absolutely.
Story. But when a teenager is in the thick of it, they don't have the bigger vantage point. They don't have the big picture. And so it is incumbent on the adult to step back and say, what is this child's outburst really telling me and really asking for? And it's very hard. I'm a parent of three, and I know that it is very hard when you're feeling overwhelmed because you have a job, because you have deadlines to meet, because
Absolutely.
You have bills to pay, because you have three children and two dogs and a cat and a rabbit and fish all tugging on you
and
for
a
something.
Husband.
And a husband, exactly.
Don't forget the
Sorry,
husband.
I forgot the husband.
Very important aspect.
Very important.
You know, and
that's
and
the
I
problem.
Think,
you keep forgetting the husband.
No, but actually, it wasn't forgetting the husband. I think it was in this case, in my own mind, and I'm going to share this with you, is that as a husband, Pete, and I'm going to make this public, you were so supportive that you weren't the person draining me. And I think that that is really a testament to you.
Absolutely.
But for many people, many parents, they are pulled by their spouse. They are pulled by their job. They're pulled by the neighbor down the block. They're pulled by the latest person who, you know, tweaked them. So what do you suggest and what do you teach the kids? Because even as a teenager, they can become accountable for their own feelings and they can become accountable for their view of the world. So how do you start to bridge that gap with the kids as well as with their parents?
I think it comes back to what we were talking about earlier is just that I listen. And I have kids, I have 16 girls that I, six teen girls, not 16, but 16 girls that I mentor, and they come to my house and You know, yesterday I went out to lunch with a young girl who's getting ready to go off to college on Thursday, and she and I are great friends. And there's a huge age gap, but I love her. I love her so much, and she knows I do. And I talk to her. We talk about things that are important to her, and I listen to what she says. And she knows that she can call me anytime, day or night, because it's important.
Well, it's good to have an adult sounding board. Especially
other than a parent.
Exactly. Especially someone like yourself who has a very positive, upbeat attitude. Because unfortunately, I see a lot of the young children today are exposed to the internet.
Absolutely.
And the internet is absolutely vicious.
Yeah.
And the fact that that is just like a free roaming entity out there, to me, is scary.
It is very
because
scary.
Because I think that, you know, there needs to be some sort of filter. And I think the parents have to do it. I can't think of anyone else, but somebody has to filter the internet for a lot of these young people because they just don't have the wherewithal psychologically to fend for
They're
themselves
still kids.
In the jungle. Yeah,
They're
absolutely.
Still kids. They're not even
kids.
Young adults as teens.
Yeah.
And I think one more thing I want to say really quickly, I don't judge. And I think getting back to that, I
very
think that's
important.
Something that's very important.
Absolutely.
I mean, I am not their parent, so I don't, anything and everything is acceptable
mm-hmm.
to hear, not always to, you know, accept.
To give
but
approval.
To give approval of, and I'll question sometimes. But I think as far as the internet goes, I see that with elementary kids all the time. They are quiet. They are well-behaved. They are not a problem when they're on the computer. And so I think parents put them on there, teachers put them on there. That's all they do. They get all their learning, all their influence,
yeah.
everything from a computer because it's easier. And I get that. I understand that because, you know, you've got these kids who just would fly around the room. And what do you do with them? They're disruptive. They cry. They scream. They want this. They want that. Go be on the computer. And gosh, it's quiet. You don't have to worry about them. So
it's very subtle.
It's a very real problem in this day and age.
Yeah.
Because technology has basically removed the impetus for the face-to-face communication.
Absolutely.
So life can become that much more anonymous, and social media certainly masks individuality and it targets, you know, crowd approval. So it is really important to take a step like you're taking, Kathy, in starting to get Twitter as a concept out there. And Twitter is not Twitter.
No, Twitter.
It's Twitter. That's what I'm talking about. And the reason that I love it is because even on the earlier show that we did with Dr. Diane Kramer, which you can listen to on Talk Network Radio in the archive as well, is we talked about the importance of building rapport. And Twitter, that's what I'm talking about, is when they get it, when the rapport is built in that moment that those teenagers or you and I, you know,
or you and I can
feel like somebody gets us. That's what I'm talking about. I love it. And I'm so pleased to have met you and proud of the fact that you're really working on this because I think you're going to be a wonderful advocate for teens as you already are and have been, not to mention Kathy. I mean, we didn't tell our listeners, but you have been a school teacher as well. And you
yes.
really know children intimately.
I have dealt with, you know, all ages of kids. And I, even though I'm not, well, I have to say I'm not a child, but I kind of am still.
Aren't we all?
Yes. In my tiara and my, you know, magic wand and Harry Potter, I'm, you know, the happy girl.
Well, then we've talked about joy. We've talked about relationships. We've talked about life coaching. And I know that your message is that people need to let go of the belief that they have no control and that they can begin to step into a pathway for themselves of realigning, redecisioning, if there's such
right.
a word, of recommitting.
Choices.
And
it's
recommitting.
All about the choices and the attitude.
Right. So Kathy King, how can people reach you and get more information about Kathy King Coaching?
They can reach me at Kathy@KathyKingCoaching.com.
And that's Kathy with a K.
Kathy with a K. K's. And Kathy King is KK as well. I'm on Facebook, Kathy King Coaching. And I think my contact information is also on the website. They can find the number to call or send me an email.
Right. So that's KathyKingCoaching.com. You can email her, Kathy@KathyKingCoaching.com.
You can message me on Facebook.
Right. Message her on Facebook too. So I hope that people do take advantage of reaching out to a life coach if you're in the vicinity and you're on the internet and you want to check out Kathy King Coaching.
You can Skype as well.
This is Donna Anselmo at Bold Talk Business Radio. We've been talking about life coaching today, but we know that what we do in our lives influences everything that we do in our business as well. I want to thank Pete Anselmo, co-host, for being with us on Bold Talk Business Radio on our new location on the internet at talknetworkradio.com. Listen to us on the air here at 1 p.m. on Wednesdays, and you can catch us on Bold Talk. businessradio.com for all archives.